Okay, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
As you all know, I'm Paul Baalbek III. We're at Faith Bible Church Adult Sunday School class. And when you see the toothpick come out, what do? Turn our minds on, open up our hearts, open up the Word of God. Let's rightly divide it so we can accurately apply it to our lives. Today is 10-9-2021. And 2022, I got written 21. Maybe as you get older, you kind of want to try to slow down a little bit. I'm 66 now. Anyway, I've been teaching verse by verse through Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. We're in Ephesians chapter 3, today verse 8 and 9, and the title of the message will be "The Mystery Reveals the Manifold Wisdom of God." The mystery reveals the manifold wisdom of God. And that actually is in the next verse from Ephesians 3, 10. But before we get started, let's open up in prayer, because we want to always seek God before we study the Word personally on our own, and ask that His Spirit would illumine our minds. And as we study the Word of God, as we assemble together to pray together, study God's Word, praise God together, and just enjoy the sweet fellowship and love of the saints. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for another day. Another day of grace for a beautiful fall, crisp morning. The sun's shining, and we can look at all the bad things in the world and focus on that, Father. Or we can look at all the blessings that you've bless us with, every spiritual blessing. The sun shining, little babies, puppies, the beauty of your nature and the wisdom of your word that energizes in us. We thank you for that. I pray your Holy Spirit will just produce fruit in and through me today, and those who are here assembling together to study, and also those listening to CDs or watching the videos, and that your Holy Spirit and Christ in me and through me would express your truth, your love out of me, and everyone would be edified, encouraged, and revived in our hearts, spirits, and minds, and souls. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So let's read the verses first, Ephesians 3, 8 and 9. Unto me, again, you always got to ask what? What's the questions when you're studying a book in the Bible? Who is speaking or writing, and to whom are they speaking or writing to? I know I repeat that, but sometimes we have to be reminded of things. Paul says it was safe, the idea of safeguard, that he repeated certain things, warnings and exhortations. So Paul's writing this, unto me, who am the less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given. He was a steward of the dispensation of grace, right? And what was his stewardship? That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable, remember that word, unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see. And Paul's our pattern. This should be our desire. And to make all men see. And that's generic. So it's not just men. It would be women. You want to teach your children, your grandchildren, your nephews, nieces, sons, daughters, wives. And to make all men see. What is a fellowship? And I always say this, that can be translated dispensation also. Paul was given a dispensation, and what's it called? The dispensation of grace, and here, the fellowship or the dispensation of the mystery. And what's that word mean? In the Greek, it's mysterion. It means a secret. It's not something just mysterious, like a mystery novel, but it's something that what? Let's keep reading. Which from the beginning of the world, it was hid. It was never revealed before Paul, before Christ from heaven dispensed it to Paul and to us through what? Paul's epistles, right? So from the beginning of the world, and remember that, because when you look at Pentecost, we'll look at that later today, that was known since God created the world. The kingdom gospel, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What did he tell those prophetic earthly saints? He was telling the leaders of Israel and the people of Israel what? That if they'll repent, change your mind, realize Christ is their Messiah, their long-awaited king, right? That God would send a time of refreshing the kingdom, right? And that he would send Christ back. That's, he's speaking about the second advent of Christ. Only Paul writes about him, that secret. He said, I tell you a secret, we'll all be changed, right? In the twinkling of an eye. The rapture is only found in Paul's epistles. So you see, it's been hidden God, hidden the heart and the mind of God who created all things. And that's since the beginning of the world. Peter said his was known. Paul's wasn't known since the beginning of the world. So in time past, God had a plan that he devised. The manifold wisdom of God, Paul calls it, that body of truth to the body of Christ, that God was going to form a church called the body of Christ, different than the Pentecostal kingdom believers, right? But God kept it a secret. And I love it how Satan carried out his will, because all God had to do was keep a secret what his plans were to bring in the dispensation of grace, form the body of Christ. So he says, that was hid in God, so in his heart and his mind, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at Galatians 1:12. Back up a book. And it's a little warm up here, so I can't take this jacket off now. I got all the microphones in it. That's right. I'll sweat it out. I got the microphones in the pockets. I'm all set, so that's all right. I've been in worse situations. Today, I don't know. I'm teaching adult Sunday school, and then I'm covering for the pastor since he's teaching at the Bible conference. So hopefully everybody's been praying for them. And at church, we'll pray about that. I should have did it now. But anyway, so on the way here, we get a coffee, and I spill it on my pants. I said, great, I'm doing both services. But you can't let yourself get flustered, you know what I mean? Just like, oh well. So I got most of it off. So, you know, and if I, when I'm preaching, if you can't barely see it now, but I'll just preach like this, because here's the stain. Anyway. Go to Galatians 1:1-2. Again, who's writing? The Apostle Paul, an apostle. So he's a specific apostle, as we'll see. He's not one of the 12. He's not the 13th apostle. He's the only apostle to the body of Christ. And, you know, most theologians, the denominations, they reject Paul's unique ministry. And why do you think? And they don't rightly divide the word like God commands us to, right? In 2 Timothy 2:15. Why do you think there's so much confusion? They all go to the Bible. They say we get our teaching from the Bible. Well, there's a lot of things in the Bible that ain't to the body of Christ and the dispensation of grace. Amen. I don't see nobody building an ark. That's in the Bible. Right? Ain't it in the Bible where Christ told his kingdom apostles, he gave them power over demons to heal the sick, to raise the dead? God ain't doing that. Nobody has a gift of healing today. We can pray for someone if it's God's will that God would heal them, but nobody's got that gift. Those sign gifts went off when the Word of God was completed. And remember, Israel sought for signs. God brought them up on signs, didn't he? He brings them out of Egypt with what? Signs and wonders, right? So the Jews sought signs. Greeks sought wisdom. And so when God had after Acts chapter 7, when they stoned Stephen, after all the apostles that did all them signs and wonders, confirming Christ's Messiahship, and he was a king, and they rejected, they blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And so God began setting that nation aside. It wasn't just like this. It was phased out after through the book Acts to Acts 28. Finally, Paul pronounced judgment three times in Acts 13, I think Acts 18. And then finally, Acts 28, he said, we go to the Gentiles, you stiff-necked people. You know. And so in Galatians 1 and 2, Paul, an apostle, not of men. Peter didn't send Paul. James didn't send Paul. John didn't send Paul. They're more kingdom apostles with a different gospel. Neither by man, but how was Paul an apostle? By Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 9, God saved Christ and God saved Paul and began to, after that, to send him to the Gentiles, right? With the new message, a new mission, a new commission, and a new gospel. It ain't the same gospel. Today, can anyone get saved by repenting and being baptized? And they'll receive the... No. That's taught. You got churches this morning that are trying to cast out demons and heal the sick, and they're going back to Pentecost instead of going on to Ephesians, this heavenly truth. They're backsliding. You know, the Pentecostals like to talk about backsliding. I used to be one, a Pentecostal. And anyway, we need to move on to Paul's epistles and find out what God's doing today. He says, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. So Paul's writing to who? Believers in the churches of Galatia, right? Go to verse 12. Paul's talking about the gospel. Actually, go to 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel, so a specific gospel, which was preached by me, is not after man. He didn't get it from the other apostles. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, Christ revealed to Paul over time. From Acts chapter 9, Paul got saved. He's the first person in the body of Christ. The dispensation of grace began then. But Paul says in, I think it's 2 Corinthians, 1st or 2nd, I think it's 2nd, that, no, 1st Corinthians, he said, I'll come to visions and revelations of the Lord. So over from Acts 9 until Acts 28, Christ was dispensing and revealing, taking Paul to the school of grace, you know. And by Acts 28, after that, you see Paul's prison epistles, right? And what in Colossians, he says, it was given to me to complete, perfect, or complete the Word of God. He had that whole body of truth called the mystery. Though he was teaching it, don't get fooled by the extreme Acts 28ers that says Paul was not going to the body of Christ. He was preaching the kingdom message before that. No, he wasn't. In Corinthians, doesn't Paul talk about the body of Christ? And then they try and say there's two bodies of Christ. It's like, there's one Lord, one faith, one body, right? There ain't no two. See, when you rightly divide the word accurately, see, you got to rightly divide it, not wrongly divide it. So you got to study to have God's approval, right? The workmen need not be ashamed rightly dividing the word of truth. So we see, go to Galatians 2, 6 through 9. Galatians 2, 6 through 9. But of these who seem to be somewhat, so I believe he's talking about Peter, James, and John. These were pillars in that kingdom church. I love Paul here, but of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me. See, I'm like Paul. I get it from Paul. I'm not impressed with big shots in the church. When people say, oh, you know, so-and-so believes this, I'm not impressed with them. I'm impressed with the Word of God. What does the Word of God rightly divided teach? And then I'm impressed with the man who teaches it. I appreciate them. By the way, it's time to turn our phone some vibration or off. I didn't do it. I just heard a little beep. Uh-oh. I'm going to set the example. What if God wanted to give me a call? You never know. Like Benny Hinn. Anyway, just playing. God speaks to me through His Word, rightly divided, and He does the same with you. So Galatians 2:6-9. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me. God accepted no man's person. So He's not a respecter of persons. Like God's not impressed with somebody with titles. You know, people like today, there's a new movement, the New Apostolic Reformation, and they call herself apostles and prophets, and God's bringing back the fourfold ministry. No, I'm not impressed with them because they bring in this new revelation knowledge.
I'm impressed with them, their stupidity.
Boyd said he's impressed with their stupidity if nobody out there heard it.
They
kind of outdoing the ignorant, the biggest denomination, the ignorant brethren, right?
You're trying to be pro-Russian.
Yeah. And we know, anyway, let's keep going. So Paul said, I'm not impressed with them, but contrary-wise, so on the contrary, when they saw, this word in the Greek means perceived. It's like you're looking in the sky and you see this little, maybe light, this little speck, and you're like, is that a star? What is that? Is that a flying saucer? Or some people will look, right? And all of a sudden, it comes closer and closer, and you perceive it's a plane. See, they knew nothing. Christ didn't teach them the mystery. It was unsearchable in time past before Paul. You're not going to find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It wasn't time yet for that. You're going to find the kingdom gospel being, and the law being preached, circumcision being preached. What did he tell them? Don't go to the Gentiles, didn't he? Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then later, because if the leaders in Israel would have received Christ as their Messiah and their King, the kingdom would have came in, the time of refreshing, right? But they didn't. So God set that program temporarily aside. I always say temporarily. Because God's not done with Israel, as our covenant and reform brothers and sisters like to teach us that we're spiritual Israel now. No, we're the body of Christ. We're not the bride of Christ. You know, if you want to, you got to, some people like to use that term. I think it brings confusion. Because you'll see in Revelation, the bride. Paul calls us the, though he mentions that we're, he espoused us to Christ. And he has the idea of marriage and union, like in Ephesians chapter 5, that intimacy, I'm going to teach about that at church. But he never calls us the bride of Christ. So anyway, he says, Galatians 2:6-9. But in verse 7, but contrary-wise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision, so what did Paul preach? The good news of the uncircumcision. What's that? The Gentiles were the uncircumcised, right? Was committed to me uniquely, as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter. So God gave two gospels to do two different people, to two different groups of believers. The circumcision was to the believers in God's kingdom prophetic program. Paul's gospel, the uncircumcision, was to the body of Christ, to the Gentiles now. And you'll see something that's pretty cool, what God, what he did. He kind of reverses the order. I'll explain it later. So 2:6-9. So you see two different gospels, and he says, for he that wrought... See, you can't say, oh, Paul and Peter's preaching the same gospel, because what was the gospel? Paul preaches 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, right? As our gospel that saves today. Peter preached, repent and be baptized. You got to get baptized. Not as a testimony, to be saved. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. See, the denominations tell you, oh no, he's just saying it's a testimony. So after you get saved, this is your first testimony. No, it ain't. I believe that garbage. Today there's what? One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Paul tells us we're baptized, what? By the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. There's your one baptism. So that throws out any water baptism because that was part of Israel's program. See how the denominations have things all confused today? Take a little kingdom, take a little Paul, mix them together and get this gobbly-gobbly, confused. People don't know what to believe. There's so much different teaching out there. And he says, for he that wrought effect, that's God, who wrought effectively in Peter, as the apostleship to the circumcision. Who's that? The Jews. The Hebrews. The same was mightily in me towards the Gentiles. Two different gospels for two different groups of people. You know, they try and say, if you read commentaries, that it was the same gospel, just Paul preached it to the Gentiles. Peter, no. Un is not the same as, you know, 7-Up is not the same as Coke. The Un-Cola is not the same as cola. They're the same thing, a soda, right? But it's a different kind of soda. And when James, see, they perceived, as Paul explained to them, he met with them and he's telling them, this, you know, I'm sure he explained to them that when Christ saved them on the road to Damascus and sent him to the Gentiles and his gospel now that he's preaching. And he says, but when James, verse 9, Cephas, that's Peter and John, who seem to be pillars, when they perceived, see, they got it now. The grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, the Gentiles, and they unto the circumcision. Do you know they loosed themselves from their great commission here? Because what it wasn't what they call a great commission. Christ calls it a commission, right? They were supposed to what in the kingdom program? Go into all the world, making disciples, baptizing them, right? See, baptism, water baptism. But they saw God was doing something new. Like DC, I used to like them, young Christian rap. God's doing a new thing. And, you know, they'd say in my life, but God was doing a new thing. This was never known in prophecy. Apart from Israel's rise, God's going to the Gentiles. It's through their fall. That's why we'll see. Paul, when he thinks about this, the wisdom, manifold wisdom of God, he just, it's mind-blowing. It makes you want to praise God for how wise he is. And so, we see, Paul didn't receive his gospel from them. He wasn't preaching the same gospel as they were. He received the gospel, the grace of God, directly from Christ in heaven, not on his earth. In the certainly program. So, if God reversed the order here, as I was studying this out, I never thought of this before. In time past, it was through Israel's rise that the Gentiles would be blessed. God always wanted to reach the Gentiles. But it was through their rise, they would be a kingdom of priests. They go about evangelizing the world, and they will. See, we live in God, with the stone of Stephen, put his prophetic early kingdom program on hold. But he's not done. He brings in this new and prophesized program, heavenly program called the mystery, Paul calls it. That sacred secret hidden in the mind and heart of God in time past. And he brings in the dispensation of grace. What ends the dispensation of grace? The rapture, right? After the rapture, God starts this prophetic clock, and it goes right. They should have went right into the tribulation. Remember, Stephen saw Christ standing? Well, you researched that a little bit. When Christ was standing, it was for war. You know, the commentaries say, oh, he was welcoming Stephen. No, he wasn't. Right now, he's sitting at the right hand of God, right? He's sitting. He's interceding for us. But after the rapture, you got 7-year tribulation. Christ is coming back. I'm reading the book of Revelation right now. I just finished it. So I read the whole Bible again, and I always read some, like I start in Genesis, I might read one chapter, two, three, and then I read two or three of Paul's. So I went through Paul's epistles over and over and over, because that's what's about us and to us, right? But I've read through the Bible again. I don't know how many times I did it. I don't do the... it's fine to do it, you know, where the pastor puts out that thing to read through the Bible in here. Don't worry about that wasp. Worry about Satan's flaming darts to distract you. That is distracting. Hopefully you don't come and sting me. So, God reversed the order in time past. In time past, it was through the nation of Israel that the Gentiles could come to God in the earthly kingdom program. But now, Paul, when you see but now with Paul, there's been a change, right? But now, God has temporarily put Israel's kingdom program on hold. And the dispensation of grace we live in, look at how God reversed it. Individual Jews, in order to be saved, need to come to God through the gospel Paul gave for the Gentiles. Now, we share that gospel, right? And individual Jews and Gentiles have to believe that.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
You know, it's in the body of Christ overall, it's, I would say, more Gentiles, because it's hard for a Jew to say, I'm become a Christian. Their father will have a... go ahead, real fast.
It's no harder for the Jews to do that than what Paul had to do, because Paul was teaching the same kingdom stuff. And God had to clear his mind with that stuff. You know,
before that, yeah.
He got him straight.
He was a Pharisee.
He got full knowledge of the full gospel. And that's why
Paul says that people will be judged by his gospel. Because
right.
Paul explains what happened to Israel's program. Didn't God promise them a kingdom? Right? Well, what happened to it? Can we trust him then about our salvation? It's been put on hold temporarily. But God, after the trib, Christ is going to come back. And he ain't playing. Read the book of Revelation and all. It's a terrible time. That's why we want to redeem the time, reaching out to the lost. And our families, our friends, co-workers, our enemies, because it's going to be a time like Christ said the world has never known. There's going to be things coming up from hell, some weird creatures and stuff, you know, that can sting people. And, you know, it's going to be big, huge hail coming down. People are going to go, you know, they want the mountains to fall on them, the rocks to fall on them. But they still, here's the hardness and the pride of the sinful heart. They still didn't repent. They still didn't want to believe God. They still don't, even in the future, because you see it today, right? How many people respond to the gospel? Most people in the world, hey, that's good for you. Yeah. But I thank God for the ones who do respond. I thank God all the time. I say, God, I don't know why I responded. And I'm no Calvinist that God chose some. And, you know, it's just I heard the gospel and it was good news. That I just had to recognize I'm a sinner, and I was. Ex-gangbanger, womanizer, drug, you know, doer. It was easy for me. And then that was good news. Just believe Christ died for my sins. Personally, it's not enough to know about it. There's people in church that hear it every week that are brought up in church, but they don't recognize I am a sinner. They know Christ died for sins, he was buried, but they never recognize he's doing it for them. The moment you do that, and that he was buried and he rose, and it's all according to the scriptures, right? He rose the third day. The moment you realize that God, the Holy Spirit, baptizes, that's a spiritual baptism, he places you into the body, takes you out of Adam, you die who you were in Adam, right? Romans 6, and you rise as a new creation in Jesus Christ. And you're saved for eternity. Praise God. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. I always say, man, I lose a lot of things. I lose my salvation if it was, you know, for me. I come up short every day. Bill's nice today. What are you being nice? Why are you being nice, Bill? You make me suspicious. He's coming up with something good later. Lori always lets me know what you're up to. Okay, so you see how God reversed the order? In the dispensation of grace, Jews, in order to be saved, need to come to God through the gospel that Christ and God and Christ dispensed to our Apostle Paul, the Apostle of Gentiles. So now they got to come through our gospel, individual Jews. One more time, bro, and then. Okay. Time. So the gospel that saves today is part of that body of truth that Paul calls the mystery that was hid in the heart and mind of God and unsearchable. Let's read Ephesians 3:8-9 again. Just to keep that fresh in our mind for what we're studying today. Paul says, unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints. Paul's very humble. But when he talks about his ministry, what did he say? I magnified my ministry. Why? Christ gave it to him. He didn't choose to be the apostle to the Gentiles. He said, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery or the dispensation of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden God who created all things. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. So go back a few books. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 2. Now, remember the Corinthian church. I'm sure not all, but a lot of them. They were very carnal in the way they acted. And even they were impressed with worldly philosophies. The way that world thinks. Kind of like today, I think. Churches today, I think, are more like the Corinthian church than ever. Because they let the worldly philosophies come in. And he says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. All Paul could do with your average Corinthian was share the gospel of salvation with them. But then go to verse 6 and 8. So for an unsaved person, we want to share the gospel with them, right? But what's God's will then? That all be saved, right? And come to the knowledge of the truth. Once they're saved, you want to take time, invest your life in building them up. Don't just be like a Billy Graham thing where supposedly he would give the gospel and then they just go out. Like I got saved through watching TV. You know, like I said, I would never follow the guy now. He's a Pentecostal, charismatic, and he's got a lot of stuff, but God had shown me, he used a Pentecostal to lead me to the Lord, and I'll be forever grateful. So be glad that for your, we should be, Paul thanked God for the Corinthians. They were carnal, right? They were confused about the gifts, but he thanked God for them. They're our brothers and sisters if they believe the gospel. And keep that in mind, they're not our enemies. The erroneous stuff that comes out of a lot of that extreme movement, that is deceptive and things, but there's Pentecostals that got such a heart for the Lord. Mary's, I'm thinking of Mary's friend. She just sharing the gospel all the time with people, you know. And so it says, but howbeit we speak, where am I going? 6-8. Howbeit we speak wisdom. See, this is not worldly wisdom, wisdom from God. Among them that are perfect, the idea they're mature. Like he could teach it to the Ephesians, right? And the Colossians and the Philippians. Yet, not the wisdom of this world. See, not human philosophy. Listen to this. Nor are the princes of this world that come to naught. He's talking about principalities and powers here, I believe. You know what they're coming to? Naught. They're getting thrown into the lake of fire. Satan's getting thrown into the lake of fire. The false Antichrist and the false, the beast and all that. And every person that sides with Satan and rejects Christ, read about the great white throne judgment. You know, there's opportunity only while we're here and alive to trust in Christ. And we better hear the right gospel to know what to believe, right? That's why it's important to rightly divide the word, or you'll share a false gospel. There, it's a real good chance you will, because you'll mix Israel's gospel with the gospel of the grace of God that God gave Paul. And he says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. See that? That sacred secret. Even the hidden wisdom. Remember, it was hidden in the heart and mind of God, right? Which God ordained before the world for our glory. So God had this plan before the world began. And he didn't reveal it until Christ reveals it to Paul. And to us in where? Paul's epistles, Romans through Philemon. Which none of the princes, see, the principalities, powers. What's it say? Christ is seated at the right hand of God, high above all principalities, powers, mights, and dominions. Dominions has the idea of what? Authority. You think of kings and princes. And so, for had they known, if Satan and his foolish demons that the angels that followed Satan, if they would have known, see, they became demons when they followed him, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Satan wouldn't have did it. Satan hates you if you're a grace believer. He hates all believers, but especially he hates a grace believer. You know why? If you look at in Ephesians, that in heavenly places, go back to Ephesians 3. The next verse. Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now, see, there's a change, right? In the dispensation of grace. Unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. I think a manifold, like layers. You know, many. Doesn't Paul say that you might know the height, the depth, the width, and the length? And in context, the first part of chapter 3 here is about the mystery, right? We want to know that body of truth. And then he says, you'll know the love of God that passes all understanding. Right? Later we'll see as in church, as dear children. Dearly beloved children, you know, God wants us to love each other the same way that he loves us, right? Unconditionally. Now that takes the Holy Spirit, don't it? Can you love people when they're not being nice to you? And your own? Could you love somebody who hurts you? Can you forgive them? In your own? No. For what's fruit is Spirit? Love. As you depend upon the Holy Spirit in you, Christ in you, we can what? Do all things through Christ in us, right? Paul said, it's no longer I who lives. I live. What are you talking about, Paul? He said, it's Christ who loved me and gave himself for me, right? So, if when we didn't deserve it, right? See, it's just not getting all these details only. We need to know the doctrine. We need to know the height, the depth, the width, and the length, right? But now we need to apply these. It should get in from our, just our brains, right? It should get into our heart. And you know what the word heart means? And I can't think where it's at. The idea of the mind and emotions. It's our whole being that we offer our bodies. What's in your body? Your mind, your spirit, right? Your will, your soul is your mind, emotion, and will. Our hands, our feet, our mouth, our eyes, our arms to hug some, offer it to God in worship, in service. When you're serving God, you're worshiping Him. And dependence on Christ, because like I said, I hear a lot of preaching, sometimes even in gray circles, that you need to be doing these things. You know, if Christ did that for you, then you should do this. But then sometimes, and that's true, we should respond to that. But never forget, I can't do it. I can't do these things, and I don't have it within me. But Christ in me can do it, express himself through me, right? He can produce that. And what's Paul talking about there? To know him and the power of his resurrection. That's what our goal should be, right? And at the end of our lives, I went on my tombstone, put a cowboy hat on with two guns. No, Tombstone. Remember that movie? On my tombstone, I want what Paul said. If I do it, and what God began in me, he's going to finish. I can, that God's working in me both to will and do according to his good pleasure. I want to say like Paul, I finished my race with joy. I held nothing back. He talks other places, right? So Paul could only preach the gospel of salvation to these Corinthians, right? Because they were carnal thinking and they were immature. But to the spiritually hungry and mature believers, he could take them deeper into the mystery and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation and the mystery. Go to Romans 16, 25. You want to get established in your Christian walk? Now to him, Romans 16, 25. Now to him, God, that is able, that is of power. The idea is he's able. God is working in us both to will and do according to his good pleasure. He doesn't overrule our will, but he's working, motivating us by grace. Because we appreciate how his unconditional love for us. We appreciate and respect him as our Heavenly Father. He knows everything, right? That manifold wisdom of God that if he didn't reveal to us, Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, I think, about how it's never come into the mind of man. But now the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, has revealed it. And we want to bring not shame to the name of Christ, right? What do we want to bring? Glory. Don't you want your life to adorn the gospel, attract people to it? To some people, we're what? A fragrance. Let me come closer. Where'd you get that stuff? I want some. Right? We're a fragrance as we're walking in the Spirit. And then the others, it doesn't matter what, how we walk. We're just in a stinky aroma. because we remind them of their future. They don't want to think about God, unsaved people. They want to push them away. Look at our schools. Teaching evolution, pushing the idea of God's Word out of the schools. They used to use God's Word as a textbook for reading. Did you know that? Look at our society. Push them away. We'll make up our own gods. Ain't that what happened at the Tower of Babel? First, they didn't want to know the one true God in Romans chapter 1, right? So they made up their own gods in the image of man. Birds, four-footed creatures. So look at how they're not evolving. They're going down now. Creeping things. And God said they're without excuse. Because even creation shouts. It preaches to them. There's a God. Who designed all this? How wise. And they know there's a Godhead. His deity. But they just keep wanting to push it away. So when we come around them, what do they want to do? Push you away because you remind them. Because we're going to talk about Jesus Christ, right? But to some that are so empty because the world, you know, some are still thinking, if I get here, I'll be happy, right? Or they're partying, they're young, they ain't getting them bad hangovers. Like when you get older and they think they're having fun. But some have realized this world can't satisfy me. And they want something. They know they're missing something. And we got the gospel to share with them. And to see a life change from somebody who wants to commit suicide, maybe, or who's bound up in drugs or prostitution or whatever. Homosexual, bound up in that lifestyle. Straight people bound up in fornicating and pornography. And the gospel frees. Jesus said you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free, right? We got the answer, folks. The question is, are we willing to share it out of love? And so, with them, Paul could only preach the gospel of salvation to them because they were carnal thinking and immature. But to the spiritually hungry and mature believers, he could take the deeper things of the mystery, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the mystery kept secret since the world began. So you see that here in 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish our lives. How? First, according to Paul's gospel, we got to believe Paul's gospel. And then the good news that goes along with that gospel, which is the preaching of Jesus Christ. How? How does he say Christ is supposed to be preached today? According to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Go to Romans 11:11-12. So I'm going to have to be closing up in a minute or two. I mean, the pastor's not here if I went nowhere. Now, see, that's what maturity is, doing the right thing even when nobody's looking, right? I try to, and on time it's hard. Romans 11:11-12. I say then, Paul's talking about the nation Israel. Have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. So they stumbled at the cross. Okay, then God gave them number opportunity, right? What did Christ pray from the cross? God forgive them, for they know not what they do. God gave them a 1-year extension from the stoning, from them asking for, will not have this man rule over us. They asked, crucify him. And now Peter offers them the kingdom again, right? So God wasn't done in Acts chapter 2 and beginning a new thing. Or when they crucified Christ, he wasn't done with Israel. He still offers them, Peter, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And the time of refreshing will come, Acts chapter 3, right? And God will send the Christ. But with the... So when did they fall with the stoning of Stephen? They blasphemed the Holy Spirit. God forbid. But rather, through their fall, that's where they fell. Salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. See, God still wants to save individual Jews. Now, if the fall of them be riches of the world, so it's riches to us, right? We're as we believe the gospel, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, right? Ephesians 1:3. And the diminishing of them, so see, from Acts chapter 7, when they stoned Stephen, God started diminishing their program till Acts chapter 28. Three strikes, you're out. Paul pronounced judgment on them. And he says, how much more their fullness? So see, God's not done with Israel yet, is he? I don't care how expensive the theology book, the denominational theology books or commentaries say. Go to Scripture. Go to Romans 11, and I'm going to end here. I always have more, you know that, but this should wrap it up well. When Paul thinks now about the wisdom of God, that manifold wisdom of God, and how through Israel's fall, salvation has went to the Gentiles, and also, he's not done with them yet. He'll fulfill his promises to them. And look what Paul says when he starts thinking God's wisdom, you know. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. That's what we should think. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Or who has first given to him that it should be recompensed unto him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to be whom be glory forever and ever. That should just make us astounded, God's wisdom. You know? And not only that, what else? His love to us. What's the gospel today? I had more. I was going to go to Acts 2 and show you how that was known since the world began. The gospel today is 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Right? Paul says this is what he received from Christ, and on what we stand. We get saved and stay saved. We get saved. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's how God can save someone for what Christ finished work. How does someone receive salvation? We are saved by grace, totally undeserved. By grace, through faith. You receive it through faith. You trust Christ did that for you. Not of yourselves. It's not trying to work for it. I promise I'll commit my life to you, God. No. It's a gift. You receive it as a gift. Not by works, lest anyone should boast. So with that, I pray if there's one here. I see somebody sleeping in the back there. Maybe they need salvation. I don't know. You know, if the gospel is boring. I know. Sometimes people fall asleep. I understand that. My sidekick goes. So, anyway, today that's the gospel. That's why we rightly divide the word, right? To get the gospel right. That people can get saved. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray if there's one here, I don't care if they've been in church all their life. They've never trusted in you. They're still on their way to hell, to burn for eternity. And people just take it lightly. That's going to be a terrible time and never ending. And those who believe the gospel will be in heaven for eternity. Today I have some from the body, present with the Lord. If we're alive at the rapture, we'll be changed, our bodies. No more pain, no more struggling with sin. We have bodies that are created for heaven, to live in heaven, and to serve your Son in places of authority. Thank you, Father, for that. So I pray if there's one that they would recognize they're a sinner today, that they're stained filthy stain in Adam. They were born that way. And that they need to trust in the blood of Christ, and He'll cleanse them, where they'll be totally righteous, like their sins were black in their way. Now they're totally white in Christ's righteousness. And You can give them eternal life. And I pray for us, Father, that fill our hearts with Your love, with the desire to redeem our time. The days are evil. And why we can, especially why we still have freedom. We might not have it in the future. We don't know. And that we'll use it to reach the lost and also to share this wonderful mystery truth with the saved. In Jesus' name I pray.